It's the Big Interview.
All right, boys, prepare to be dazzled.
Thinking big, living big, talking big with market strategists, money managers, economists, authors, and more.
This is big news. What's going on here? This is big news. We need coverage of this.
Long chats with big brains, meant to give you a better view of the big picture as money life goes literally.
Go big or go.
Talking.
Yes, we are. And today we're talking with Janelle Woodward. She is the president of TCH, which, if you need to know what it is, it's Taplin, Kaneda, and Habact. It's a part of BMO, and she is portfolio manager for the BMO TCH Core Plus Bond Fund. If you want to find that and not worry about the mouthful, ticker symbol MCBIX. MCBIX. To learn more about the BMO TCH Core Plus Bond Fund, go to BMO.com. Better yet, go to the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page, and you'll find links there to both the fund and their most recent viewpoints. And there's lots to talk about when it comes to the bond world. Janelle Woodward, welcome to Money Life.
Thank you for having me.
Well, on Wednesday, Janet Yellen came out, and I don't think she did anything that people weren't expecting, but it did at least start a whole lot of speculation as to what's going to be next. So, as you listen to her lay out the case for raising rates, I doubt you were surprised, but are you enthused, more confident? Does it change anything that you see happening going forward at this point?
I think the big question going into the meeting yesterday is whether or not they would telegraph 3 or increase it to 4 increases for 2017. There's been a lot of discussion around the Fed, and if you look at the end of 2015 and 2016, they went in with a lot more aggressive guidance, and in the end only ended up increasing once during the year. So really the debate was, if they telegraph this increase, what are they going to say next?
And what do you think they're going to wind up saying next? Did you come away more convinced that we have a third rate increase or potentially a fourth this year? Or did you come away going, man, she didn't tip her hand at all?
Yeah, I think if you look at the dot plot, the expectation they've held to the expectation that it will be 3 this year. But the way we look at it, it's likely to be up to 3. I think if we look at the projections in past years and certainly look at some of what's going on from an economic and even a political and a global political environment standpoint, there's certainly a case to be made for volatility. What prompted them not to increase as much as they forecasted in 2015 and 2016? Geopolitical uncertainty. We had China. We had Brexit. We had commodity prices. This Fed has said that they will be very data dependent, and they've certainly done that. And when things get quiet, I think one thing we're confident in is volatility. So could it be up to 3? Yes. Do we think they're going to be aggressive? No. The word gradual got introduced into her commentary, and we think that on balance, they continue to be very dovish from a policy standpoint.
But bond fund investors perhaps hate nothing as much as they hate volatility.
Well, for us, we think volatility is exciting because that's where the opportunities lie. And if we look at what we've done across strategies and certainly within the Core Plus Fund, we've looked to position certainly for the long term, but take advantage of the volatility. We had volatility in the credit markets over the last 2 years, which created significant opportunity within the fund and allowed us to purchase both some high quality credits at yield we hadn't seen for a long time, as well as some distressed credits at really distressed level, trading cents on the dollar. And so that is the good thing about volatility. When we think about rates, though, we do think we're going to be in a fairly range-bound environment in here. We think a lot of the big move up in rates, if we look at the 10-year, we're about 100 basis points higher than we were at the end of September. And much of that reflation growth trade really was pulled into the fourth quarter. So we do think that rates will still be fairly range-bound, even if we see some volatility in the interim.
For the longest time, during a bond bull market that lasted more than 30 years, we were told, you know, we were going to see a bond bubble. Everybody was very worried about what would happen when rates went up. And I know that Janet Yellen has white hair. It's unmistakable. But do you in any way see that she's got Goldilocks potential here? I mean, could she actually hit it so that depending on what we do here, this comes out just right and we manage to reflate, get inflation back relatively on schedule, raise interest rates and not create a bubble and not do any of the things that take us from volatility into actual pain?
Well, we hope so. But I think that's why when you look at her commentary and her comments yesterday, she continues to use the words gradual. And I think the challenge, one of the challenges for the Fed has been, and we go back to that piece of the commentary versus the reality, is that we get to the end of 2015, 2016, and you say, gosh, they missed the window in the first quarter because of the noise that occurred in the second and the third quarter, and you were really left with just a fourth quarter increase. And when we think about the decision and really that change in commentary over the last week, we think that's exactly what she's trying to address. They're thoughtful about how prior years have unfolded. They saw the opportunity. Certainly the economic data supports it, and they want to prevent some of the asset cycles, certainly that we've seen in the past, while still demonstrating a willingness to be accommodative through those words like gradual.
For investors, how does this reshape expectations? You know, you talk about volatility, and as a fund manager, it creates opportunity, and that makes sense. But your shareholders, they're living in an environment that they know if rates go up, it's bad for their bonds. So how does the average investor create expectations, and what should they be thinking they can be getting from various bond types going forward?
Yeah, I think one of the sectors that we continue to find attractive is the credit sector. And while we've been in a very monetary policy-driven world, we're shifting to one where fiscal policy is going to matter a lot. And when we look at the underpinnings of economic growth that have driven and have created the catalyst for an increase, those are positive for corporates. And then we couple that with what we anticipate should be coming out of some of the changes from fiscal policy and from the administration, a shift in ability to repatriate cash, a change in some reforms, a change in tax code. These are all constructive for corporates. And while we can say, yes, certainly corporates have traded at higher yield and wider spreads in previous times, they're still very well priced in light of our expectations for credit risk and certainly in light of the positive backflow or the positive catalysts of the environment.
From the perspective of inflation, it certainly seems like inflation has been rising a little bit ahead of the Fed's target and ahead of the Fed's schedule. How big a concern is that for you right now?
It really isn't, and I think we think about it two different ways. You know, we look at PCE, the measure they use, 1.9 and kind of, 1.75 on a core basis. And we've seen these numbers before, and people forget that, and people also forget, as we saw this all from the commodities, what the implications were on inflation. So we're kind of at that target level. We're not terribly worried about it. And I think the other thing to remember is if you look back at inflation, at these inflation levels, we're exactly where the Fed was doing QE2, QE3, Operation Twist. So very accommodative actions. So I don't think that the number itself is something that's terribly concerning. The real wild card is to what extent will changes in fiscal policy and the administration and infrastructure spending prove to be inflationary? And we think we still have a way and some time before we actually see that. Similar to our comments on yields, we think a lot of that expectation is already baked into the market.
You know, the next wager for a lot of investors is, well, is the Fed going to do something at its next meeting? How quickly will the next increase come? Do you sort of think that it's going to be, hey, just let's prove the point and kind of take a step forward and a step sideways and a step forward and build it like that going forward?
Yeah, I think if the data supports it, that they'll continue on the current trajectory. I think that the other thing that people will start to focus on and really could be the surprise factor is what the Fed does do with its balance sheet. It's remained committed investing interest payments and continuing to maintain its balance sheet. But if it would change its rhetoric around its intentions there, I think that's probably the place that the market might see the most volatility.
Just about out of time here, but does this mean in any way, shape, or form that average investors should be reconsidering strategies that they've had? You know, some folks were looking at shortening durations, et cetera. Is this kind of stay the course because, well, this is the course we expected?
Yeah, I think it is stay the course, but I think that there is scope to be involved in strategies that have credit exposure, that are thoughtful about how they're constructing duration, about how they're positioning for duration, and certainly looking down to individual securities and line items to capture the best opportunities in the context of the current market.
Well, Janelle, this has been great. Thank you very much for taking time to join us on Money Life. I hope we get a chance to chat with you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Janelle Woodward, everybody. She is the president of TCH Portfolio Manager for the BMO TCH Core Plus Bond Fund. That's MCBIX for their Class I shares. If you want more information, well, BMO's on Twitter at BMO, and then they're online at BMO.com. But to find their viewpoints, their feelings on the fixed income market, and to learn more about Janelle's fund, go to the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page, and there you'll find links that will get you straight to where you need to go. All right, we just hit the halfway pole on the March 16th edition of Money Life. Up next, Bob Powell will be in the house at Senior Focus time, and then the Money Life Market Call. Stay tuned. We're living the Money Life, and we'll be back in just a moment.
All investments involve risk, including the possible loss of principal. Foreign investing involves special risks due to factors such as increased volatility, currency fluctuation, and political uncertainties. You should consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses carefully before investing. For a prospectus which contains this and other information about the BMO funds, call 1-800-236-3863. Please read it carefully before investing. BMO Asset Management Corp. is the investment advisor to the BMO funds. BMO Investment Distributors, LLC is the distributor. Member FINRA/SIPC.